Only the best will do for mom. So make Whole Foods Market your Mother's Day destination. Shop the floral department for vibrant blooms like tulips, orchids, peonies, and expert-crafted bouquets. Then head to the wellness and beauty department and give mom a spa-like experience with scented candles and more. And if you're hosting brunch or dinner, order flavorful Whole Foods Market catering by May 9th. Celebrate Mother's Day with Whole Foods Market in store and online.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to talk about single people now, because Conor Sheehan is a TD and the Labour Party's housing spokesperson, and he's called for a dull debate on housing measures for single people, responding to analysis on affordable housing for single people. That is why this was introduced as a debating topic by Conor Sheehan. Conor, you're very, very welcome to the show. Andrea Smith is with us as well, the freelance journalist. And before we speak to Conor, Andrea, give us a sense of how much more expensive things are, how much more expensive life is if you're single.
Listen, I don't know where to begin with it. I think, you know, that household expenses generally are fixed, you know, your broadband, your electricity, all that kind of thing. And when you're single, it's all coming out of the one pot, you know, whereas when you've got somebody else to share the load, it's great. But, you know, things like mortgage payments, they're all down to you. So if anything goes wrong, you can be really in trouble. And that happened to me a few years ago. I was in court twice for the repossession of my house. Now, I saved my house in the end, but there was no safety net for me, because when you're single and you lose a job, it all comes down to you. So definitely there are huge costs. I think I saw a report in the Irish Independent that Charlie Weston had done that says that single people are paying up to €1,000 more than you know, either half of a married couple because of the expenses that we have all on our own shoulders.
Yeah. And as you say, a lot of those expenses, you know, they are common for couples and single people. Yeah, your Netflix is the same.
Exactly.
Your Amazon Prime is the same. Your Sky or your Virgin Broadband or whatever it happens to
be. Your property tax, all of that is the same.
All of it is the same, except you're paying it out of one pot as opposed to two.
And I kind of feel that there are no breaks at all for you when you're single. I mean, I'm in my 50s and 18.3% of women my age, between 50 and 59, the last census, were single, you know. And yes,
there is. High?
Yeah. Isn't it? We're all nobody wants to marry us.
I am surprised it was that high,
yeah,
actually.
18.3%.
Yeah, 18.3%.
And if you were to add in married, divorced and separated people, it came to 35.4. So that's a third of people.
Yeah.
But I just think that, you know, obviously families need to be protected. And I just think that society prioritises marriage and families over children and over single people. And I totally get that. You need to prioritise children. In this economy, you have to. In life, you have to. But there's absolutely nothing there for single people. If we run into trouble, you know, it's just tough luck to us. Like, there are things like, you know, the working family payments, you know, for families where you can increase your income if it's below a certain level. But when you're single, it doesn't happen. And I don't really understand why that is. Because when you're single and you haven't had children, your working life, you're paying into the pot the whole way through your working life. You're not taking time out, and you should take time out if you have a family, obviously. But we don't do that. And yet there's no kind of incentive or reward for us at the end. And in other countries, it doesn't happen that way. You know, the more you put in, the more you get when you retire, you know, in places like Sweden and that. Yeah. So I just think that really they could do with throwing us a bone every now and again, because they don't.
Yeah. So it's not. Because I get the counter argument to some of this would be that idea that it's in society's broader interest to incentivize the family, as it were, you know, and that's not necessarily the traditional family, as some people listening to this might imagine it, but just the family, because, you know,
you need
taxpayers
family.
In the future to pay my pension and your pension
exactly.
when we retire effectively. But you're saying, at the moment, it's a case of it's all the family and nothing for single.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, when I lost my job and I said I got into trouble, you know, a few years ago, there wasn't a single thing I could do to help me in that situation. And I didn't really understand why that was, because I'd been paying my taxes, you know, and suddenly, you know, there was no sort of scheme that was going to help me.
Mm.
And, you know, it was definitely a trying time. And I know it from all of my single friends. They all have the same problem in that we basically live on a much lower scale than our married friends, because we don't have those extras. Everything goes into just making the day-to-day life work, you know. And I just don't know if that's fair, because we're all born single. we probably die single, or more or less most of us will, you know. And I don't understand how just be like, for example, now this is one that, you know, I've fallen out with friends over this one, but just say the widow's pension. And I don't understand this, but a friend of mine was earning more than I was, as was her husband, and they had no children. They had a lovely life. He died. She automatically got a widow's pension just because she had once been married. And I didn't understand that. It wasn't means tested. And she, you know, she would say herself, it is really unfair because I earn a lot more than you do, because she went, you know, one of those regular jobs, you know, the ones not like the medium ones that we chose, but the ones our parents wanted us to take in the bank and the civil service. Mm. So she had kind of a really good, stable job, but she still got a pension automatically every week because of it, because her husband had died. And I was thinking, I think more single people should marry their friends. You know, because then we'd have at least a 50% chance of one of you benefiting, you know.
Yeah, so. get a widow's pension. Yeah, yeah. But it strikes me in that situation, your friend ultimately ended up single and was getting some state support. Is that not exactly what you're looking for?
Yeah. Yeah, she did. But she was earning more than I was. So I just didn't understand how is it because you just once got married that you should be entitled to a pension? Now, if you had children that were dependent on you, I could understand it. But it just seems to me that we still prioritise marriage as an institution over, you know, not getting married.
To what extent, and I mentioned Netflix and your broadband and what have you, housing is the big expense, isn't it?
Yeah,
and while housing remains expensive, it is phenomenally expensive for somebody to pursue a house on their own, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was lucky. I bought a house on the shared ownership scheme back in the day when they had that particular scheme. So I don't know how I would have ever managed to get a house otherwise, you know. But still, the actual paying of that, you know, because the deposit that you need for a house is huge. And if there's only one person saving for that, you know, you see people, you know, I have friends who are still at home because they were never able to afford to move out, you know, because they were single and the day-to-day expenses were just too much to afford that down deposit. And then having to kind of, you know, keep going with mortgage payments, because mortgage payments, as you know, are just so high. And I'm just so glad that at this point my mortgage is paid and I don't have to do that now. But definitely for those 20 something years, it was tough, you know.
Conor Sheehan, I mentioned, is with us as well, Labour's housing spokesperson. So, Conor, what is it exactly you want to see discussed and debated in the Dáil around housing supports for single people?
Well, good evening, Kieran, and good evening to your listeners. I suppose the first thing I would say is, just as a disclaimer, I'm a single person myself, so I have had experience of this, and I know how tough it is for a single person, you know, to save for a deposit or to rent on your own. And what I'm looking for in the first instance is to have a Dáil debate on this and for government to come forward with a strategy for housing for single people. This is something that that threshold have been calling for some time, and I believe it should be incorporated into the successor plan to Housing for All, which government are due to publish in the summer, because all of the schemes that are there, like the various administrative schemes such as Help to Buy, the First Home Scheme, they are all designed specifically for, you know, it's based on the premise that you would be coupled up. If you look at, for example, the salary that you would need as a first time buyer, I mean, if you earn €62,500, which is a bit above the average industrial wage and would be considered a decent middle income, as a single person, you're not able to afford to buy. And it's not just in Dublin, it's when you go out to the commuter towns and when you go out to the regional cities like the Corks, the Limericks, the Galways, Kilkennys, single people are just completely locked out of the housing market. And furthermore, when you look at homelessness and you look at, say, the people who are in long-term homelessness, the majority of people in long-term homelessness are actually single people, because there's such a chronic shortage of, say, one-bedroom units in particular. Yeah. The vast majority of what's been built is 2, 3 and 4 bedrooms.
So is that ultimately what you want to see, Conor, that there's just more accommodation built?
I want to see more one-bedroom accommodation built, and I also want to to see, you know, a specific policy emphasis put on designing schemes to give single people a leg up onto the housing ladder. For example, one of the things we proposed in our manifesto was a save to buy scheme, a saving scheme to allow renters, for example, to put aside a portion of their rental income in order to build up the equity they would need for a deposit. But the problem we have at the moment is, like, if you go to, say, a city like my own in Limerick, the average price of a house now is about €300,000. So if you need 10% of that, and in order to be able to make the mortgage repayments for that, if you're a single person on between 40 and maybe 60 or 70 grand, which would be considered a very decent, stable income, you are now locked out of the housing market.
So what would you say then to people who think it's in society's interest to incentivize people to couple up and ultimately to have kids? And that's what we see reflected in policy.
I can see that totally. But the fact of the matter is, we have 400,000 people, single people, for example, living alone. And for many people, like, being single now is a lifestyle choice. People are content single. They want to stay single. And society is changing and demographics are changing. Like, families are getting smaller. Being single is considered, you know, it's less of, say, a taboo than it would have been maybe 20, 30, 40
years ago.
Yeah, and
when I put that question to you, I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with wanting to be single. But you see the point that from policymakers' point of view and from a broader society point of view, that it makes sense to have incentives for people to be in a family. It's a better use of housing space in terms of occupancy rates. And it's also provides taxpayers for the future. I mean, my kids are going to pay my pension. I'm not paying mine.
But all of the incentives that are there at the moment are designed to incentivize exactly what you said. And there is nothing there at all, or very, very little, to actually help single people. And in terms of, you know, you look at the private rented market, as I said, like, that the vast majority of people, say, who are in long-term homelessness, who are going in and they aren't leaving for, say, a year or two years, they are single people, particularly single older adults. And we need to, the only way that we will bring down this 15,000 figure, which is a national shame of the amount of adults that we have homeless, is if we bring forward incentives, both in terms of, you know, a supplement on the housing assistance payment and also an adequate supply of one bedroom units to get these people out of hotels and back into stable housing.
It's Andrea's point as well that you're making, really. It's yes, absolutely. It makes sense for society to incentivize people to get married or to start a family. But it doesn't mean you offer no help to single people. Is that it?
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. And I think Andrea made it very well when she told her own story there in relation to the difficulty that she had before, for example, with her mortgage when she went into a period of financial hardship. And we need to have a safety net there for people like Andrea so that they are able to, for example, if they enter financial hardship, that they don't end up invariably losing their home.
Conor Sheehan, Labour TD, and the party's housing spokesperson, Andrea Smith, freelance journalist. Conor and Andrea, thanks a million for joining us here on the show. 087 1400 106. It is tough for single people, says one listener. It's tough for married people. It's tough for people with children. It's tough for child-free couples. Life is tough. Join the club. Single people are also penalised when it comes to inheritance, as in leaving wealth, especially if they have no kids. As somebody else points out, I'm so glad someone's bringing up the single situation. A single person can't even get a mortgage. And by the way, I say that, and I am married, but I really feel sorry for single people. Thank you for reading this. And Chris says she's going to own her own assets, whereas married are shared. She also doesn't have to pay out for the kids, medical bills, school fees, etc. That's from Chris. And why a one-bedroom house? Are single people not allowed to have friends or family stay, or should we just share a bed? Honestly, there's a good idea. Top to toe, that's the government policy.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.